Good afternoon. I'd like to call the House Finance Committee to order. Today is Thursday, February 18th, 2016. Time is 1:35 p.m. Members present today are Representative Wilson, Guerra, Pruitt, Representative Sather, Co-Chair Thompson, myself, Representative Newman, Representative Guttenberg, Gaddis, Edgman, and Munoz. I do expect Representative Kawasaki later. Let's see, we do have Representative Chenault in the back as a guest. Welcome, Representative Chenault. Today we're going to have an AKLNG update. Funds expended through FY17 in their funding requests. First, we're going to have a short presentation from Ledge Finance. They're going to go over the difference for the fund tracking codes that we asked for last spring, some of the fund tracking, or last fall, fund tracking codes that we've set up to track AKLNG and the Alaska Standalone Pipeline, known as ASAP expenditures. Then we're going to hear from Alaska Gasline Development Corp. regarding both AKLNG and ASAP, past and current spending and requests for future work on both projects. And then we're going to wrap up with OMB Director Pat Pitney and Deputy Commissioner Marty Rutherford of DNR regarding the FY16 and FY17 AKLNG funding for DNR Law and Department of Revenue. With that, Mr. Teal, we'll have David Teal up, Director of Ledge Finance, and Lacey Sanders, Fiscal Analyst, Legislative Division of Finance, to begin their presentation. So let's start this out, members. Go ahead and we'll ask questions as we go through the presentation. If we have to restrict questions a little bit to deal with time issues, then we'll deal with that. But let's try and start out with questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Teal, Director of Legislative Finance, and I'd be happy to answer questions when and if you have them, but as far as presentation goes, I think I'm just going to go ahead and turn this over to Lacey Sanders because she's the one that put the thing together.
Lacey.
For the record, my name is Lacey Sanders, Fiscal Analyst for Legislative Finance Division. In your packets today, you should have a packet of papers. That says summary of AKLNG fund codes. Yeah, I'm not going to be using the PowerPoint presentation. I'm just going to walk through this document today. I was asked to provide a summary on the various fund codes that are associated with the AKLNG project. On the first page, there is a listing of five fund codes that have been established to track the various appropriations that are made or have been made. Excuse me. The first fund code is fund code 1229. It is the In-State Natural Gas Pipeline Fund. It was originally established through the passage of HB 4, which established the In-State Natural Gas Pipeline Fund. Along with let me back up a little bit. That fund code was established specifically for the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation's expenditures from the fund. The second fund code that goes along with this is the fund code 1232, which is the In-State Natural Gas Pipeline Fund Interagency. The Alaska Gasline Development Corporation was working with other departments, money would be passed from the fund through to the other agencies via reimbursable services agreements, which are also known as RSAs. So the two fund codes would track both direct appropriations for the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation and then any funding that was being spent on in other agencies for that same purpose. I will note that the In-State Natural Gas Pipeline Fund did not include direct expenditures that AGDC would be making for large contracts or payments out of the fund directly for the work that they were doing from the fund. So the code is only tracking their operating costs that you see in their budget. Later with the passage...
Just a clarification there. It tracks the fund code of where their project is... description, but it doesn't follow it through that project. Is that what you just said?
The Alaska Gasline Development Corporation has their direct expenditures, so their personal services costs, their lease space, any commodities, pens, pencils, Those costs are being reflected with this fund code in the operating budget. There are other payments that are being made directly from the in-state natural gas pipeline fund for things like large contracts or payments that are being made. Further down the road, let me back up and apologize. The in-state natural gas pipeline fund was originally capitalized with $355 million at that the time HB 4 passed. I do not have included in this presentation the balances on the funds that will be provided in a later presentation for you guys. I'm just walking through the funds themselves. The next two funds are the Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project Fund, fund code number 1235, and the Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project Fund 1236, and that the interagency is also on that 1236. These were set up in the similar manner. AGDC would directly charge their operating costs to 1235, and any work being performed outside by other agencies would be contracted through AGDC, and the money would pass via that fund source. So it's similar to the top two codes. We have one that's directly to AGDC, and the second one is to track the expenditures made, for example, by the Department of Law for work that they were performing on AGDC's behalf. And that those two fund codes were established with the passage of SB 138. The last code that was established is fund code 1241, which is general fund LNG. This fund code was established most recently during the special session. These appropriations are a way for the legislature to track direct UGF appropriations related to the AKLNG project within each individual department. On page 2, we've provided a history and a summary of each of the fund codes that is being used for AKLNG project and where it's being used. So what you'll see is, for example, under FY17 governor's amended request, the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation is specifically, I'm on page 2. It's a spreadsheet? Yeah.
I just counted to the second page.
Representative Newman, a copy. Do you have a copy?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Starting at the top. The FY17 Governor's Amended Request, this is a summary of all of the funding that is being requested by the Governor for the AKLNG project. As you'll see, the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation is specifically using the fund codes that are drawing directly from the fund for their operating costs. And then you will see the other agencies have the interagency receipt fund code that they're using. Two things that I will note is that the Department of Law's budget for FY17 was requested as UGF. They actually had UGF appropriations in both 15 and 16. We are correcting that to be the UGF AKLNG code so that we can continue to track the expenditures for those.
I see. We're not budget analysts. We're citizens, the legislators here. So, although you can say, obviously, you can see through this fund tracking code, we move this money over to here. I don't know if anybody else can, but I can't.
Okay, I apologize through the chair, Representative Newman. Each of the fund codes that I identified on the first page are listed across the page, and the agency's information is going down the side. What we've tried to do is lay out how much the governor is requesting for each agency by each fund source.
That's what we see in the top box.
Yes.
Representative Garrett.
Thanks, Chair. Just to bring it down to a even lower grade level for me, but Lacey, actually, the last few presentations you've given, I thought were really good. So in this law one, for example, the $700,000 one where there was a mistake, will that appear as an interagency receipt at law and then an expenditure, so both ways in the Department of Law?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, that is actually being changed from pure UGF, which is with the column that it is 1004. It's going to be changed into the fund code on the far right, which is GFLNG 1241. That is what is being requested. What the legislature ultimately ends up doing could change over the next few months.
Can I ask the question again?
Go ahead. You can ask it.
Thanks.
Representative Guerra.
But in general, if money is coming out of the fund and going to a department, it's going to be both. Assuming we spend what is sent over there, it's going to show up in that department as both an incoming receipt and then an outgoing expenditure. If assuming we approve the appropriation,
I think I see where you're going, Representative Newman. Through the chair, Representative Newman, Representative Guerra. The difference between the UGF LNG code and the other codes is this money is actually not going through the fund. It is going directly to the department. So there wouldn't be a pass-through through the fund. It just would go to the department directly for expenditures.
Through the chairman, I'm just curious how it shows up in the department. So in the department's budget, it shows up as a receipt and then as if we appropriate that amount and an expenditure in the department fund?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chairman, just if I might add that the first column there, the UGF code 1004, should never have been used for any of this. The whole idea of tracking the expenditures on in-state pipeline or LNG pipeline was that we have specific codes for them. You cannot track when you use a straight UGF code. So we are changing law's request and their past request in 16 and 17 or 15. Those will both be changed, or all three of them will be changed, to code 1241 in the far right column, as Lacey said, so that when we run reports in the future, if you should ever want reports, we can say the four, now five fund codes with the LNG tracking on them. We can run a report with those five codes and tell you precisely where the money went. When it is coded as UGF, we would never be able to track that as a gas line expenditure. So again, we're moving them. You might also notice that in FY16, under the code that Lacey said, the 1229 second column, that is supposed to be used only for the internal operations of AGDC. And in FY16, you'll note that code was used as a direct appropriation to DNR. Theoretically, that cannot happen. That code 1229 is limited to internal operations of AGDC and for contracts with vendors that they sign. DNR has no authority to sign contracts using that code. They should never have been appropriated that code, that kind of money. That you would have to fix in a supplemental bill if you chose to do so.
So, and that was somewhat the direction that we had in House Bill 3001, is to direct, make sure that we had proper fund codes so we could track the dollars, right, which departments they went through, and how that money was spent.
Correct. And, Mr. Chairman, you can set up all the codes in the world, and if you don't use them properly, you won't get accurate tracking. So we're interested in having the proper codes used so that we can report properly.
I guess what I want to get to also, Mr. Teal, is like the $8,968,000. Ledge Finance isn't going to go through all those numbers. You're just identifying how you went through the process of Ledge Finance's process of tracking the monies. This is what this presentation we're trying to get to.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, AGDC can tell you what the balances are. They will do that in their presentation. I think you asked Ledge Finance to simply explain which fund codes we were looking at so that DNR, law, revenue, transportation, DEC, it doesn't matter, any agency that has a role in the gas pipeline, we want you to be able to see how much money they got, what kind of money it was. And so we're just explaining the fund codes. We know what they used. We know what was appropriated. But we do not track, for instance, contracts signed by AGDC. So we cannot track the balances of the accounts. As I've mentioned before here, we have recently had some real problems trying to get balances on not just these funds, but any funds, because there's some confusion about cash balances versus unobligated balances. And Department of Administration tends to want to use cash balances. Well, if you as legislators have any interest in taking money from an account, and I don't know that you do, but if you do, and you use cash balances, you will take too much money in all likelihood, because some of that money has been appropriated for other purposes and may or may not be obligated. But cash balance is not what you want to look at. And again, we're not going to give you any balance information. AGDC should be able to tell you what the balances of their two funds are.
I just want some clarification of why we're going through this and so we can better understand how we can track the money through these different codes. Representative Gaddis?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, we spent some time on this very subject in special session talking about tracking the money and I guess for those that are listening and those that have been listening, so the real question is, we really can't track the money that we put in. And I guess really what I would ask is, we all knew that we wanted to. Why didn't we? Why didn't we put those? You know, because I use QuickBooks. I know it's a very different program, but I use codes and I use classes, and I do it specifically so I can track where the money goes. So this isn't really some new concept in regards to accounting. So why didn't we? And I know it sounds accusatory, but, you know, I struggle with the fact that we just got done with this, and I struggle with the fact that here we are within just a couple of months, and we already feels like it's going haywire.
Through the chair, Representative Gaddis, if I can just talk about two different pieces. What Ledge Finance can provide you is a tracking of the appropriations that have been made. That is what you have in front of you. Because AGDC is in charge of the fund, the second piece of this is the accounting of it. They are accounting for the money in the fund, and they can answer the questions on what is in the fund and where those expenditures have been made.
So we do have the ability to track the funds and where they go, but you just need to go to the department and ask them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman,
and they are coming up next.
Yeah. And we can, but that's not to say that things are done perfectly here. As you pointed out, law has general funds. They shouldn't have gotten general funds to do this. They did. And we can fix that. We are fixing that. In 17, it was simply a mistake. In 16 and 15, we hadn't set up the tracking code yet, because the theory was that all money for the pipelines is going to go through AGDC, that AGDC is the coordinating agency. What in fact happened was that the agencies said, we want money to spend the way we want to spend it, when we want to spend it. We don't want to have to coordinate with AGDC. So you can see, just going across the page, that the GF code that we set up is now the bulk of the money in 1241. That's $30 million. In 16, again, it's most of the money and should be more, because that $9 million appropriated to DNR should have been coded to 1241. Now, we can track that, but it's just general funds. They can use the tracking code for anything they want to use it for. It's unrestricted general funds. If they use more regular general funds, they should code it differently in their system. They have the ability to change the code in their actuals, in their management plan, in any of the columns they are doing. If they don't do that, then you will never be able to see what they've spent. So we're relying on the agencies and their proper coding of expenditures in order to track. We can only track the appropriations, not the expenditures.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Briefly, I want to make sure I understand what Fund 1235 is for. I understand certainly the 1229 is for AGDC's operations, but 1235 is described as for project activities. But help me understand what a project activity would be versus just their operations.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, or I apologize, through the chair, Representative Sadler, at the back of your packet, we have provided detailed descriptions for each one of those. Okay, great. Just want to make sure you had that also. So the 1235 fund code is for AGDC's operating costs related to the Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project. So there was two pieces for a small portion of time, two projects. I don't know if that's the correct term that you want to say. So HB 4 passed. It was working on one line. Then SB 138 passed, working on another line. We separated the two because the statute required that the two be tracked independently. So there was a separate fund code established for that work.
Okay.
And if I may add, the codes are set up for the same purpose. 1229 and 1235 are both internal operating budgets for AGDC only. One's for one project, the other's for the LNG project.
And actually, to follow up on that, if I could, Mr. Chair, thank you. So is it fair to assume 1229 is for the AGDC's operations regarding ASAP, the previous expenditures?
What we call the in-state pipeline.
That's what you call ASAP. Okay, great. Good. Thank you very much.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So did we make a mistake? I mean, if we can't track it because now we decide to go to the agencies versus having one entity keeping track of where the money's going, making sure that everybody's on the same, you know, page. I'm just trying to figure out, besides that the agencies wanted us to give the money directly to them, would we have been smarter to have given it to one group so that somebody was accountable, not four or five trying to figure it out?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I wouldn't say it's a mistake. You can still track where the money went. You haven't lost the ability to see what was spent. You've simply lost AGDC's coordinating role.
Follow up?
Representative Wilson, I just want to make clear, though, Representative Wilson said that we can't track it. You can track it. You do track it. You want further documentation where that went, you go to the department. Representative Wilson.
Why don't you just tell you, as a subcommittee chair, trying to track where the money really goes is almost impossible unless you've got cooperation from whatever agency you have. Mm-hmm. So if I understand you correctly, basically AGDC, who's in charge of the program, the project, if they wanted to know where the money went, they would literally have to go to each agency, ask basically who do they write the checks to or who do they have a contract through to be able to literally keep track to make sure everybody's doing the roles so that we're marching at the same beat.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I think that when AGDC is at the table, that's a good question for them. We can tell you which agencies got which money. We can't tell you what they did with it. We can't tell you if it's something that AGDC wanted them to do or whether the agency wanted to do it. AGDC cannot coordinate money that's appropriated directly to an agency.
Follow up.
Representative Wilson.
That was exactly my point. I mean, you know, we've got a major project here with a lot of money going to it, and we don't have anybody coordinating any longer. We just have everybody with a piece stuck in all sorts of places. So, but I'll wait and see how it's working for them. But I guess that was really my point, Mr. Chair, is that it would take a lot more bookkeeping for the agency to do, assuming that each department would give that information to them on a regular basis. Maybe we can fix it still. Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Maybe things will become a little bit more clear after you go through the presentation a little bit further.
Representative Newman, that was actually the end of our portion of the presentation, unless there are any further questions.
No, I think that there's some confusion here about being able to track it. You know, Ledge Finance goes and they track the appropriations out. When it gets over to the different departments, whether it's law, they track it through the agency. They go back eventually and make sure those numbers add up. Representative Wilson.
And I guess, and I don't know who needs the answer. And I understand that part, Mr. Chair, but just because we can track who spent the money, I mean, you can use it my budget. You can track where I did. I went to the grocery store and I spent $200. You don't know whether I bought real groceries or I just bought a bunch of stuffed animals or something. And so, you know, my issue with this is not just tracking the expenditure of the department, but is the department really spending it on something that's making it go forward at the time when it's necessary? So I guess I'm looking for that next layer that I was hoping we would be tracking, not the departments.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Representative Edgen.
Yeah, just a clarification question here. The whole thrust of this presentation is to demonstrate to us that you have a system set up that allows us to track in these five different categories going forward. Isn't that what the whole presentation is about?
Through the chair, that is what the chairman asked us to do, because AGDC and DNR are going to tell you what balances there are, and the chairman asked us to simply say, here's the fund codes that they can spend, and explain to you so that hopefully you can better understand their presentation. I'm not sure that we've clarified anything here. We may have raised more questions than we answered in telling you this, but all we're telling you is this is the way it's set up, this is the way we do it. It may not be what you expected, but it actually does allow us, you, to track the appropriations for these purposes. But as Representative Wilson says, we don't know whether the money is being spent on groceries or stuffed animals. We'll never know that. It's not the function of Ledge Finance to go in. It's the function of the accounting system to see where money has been spent.
Our job to grill them when they get up here to the table in a few minutes. Any other questions? Thank you. Members, you might want to make separate appointments either with Lacey or David, Mr. Teal also, if you want further explanation on the fund codes, tracking the dollars, where they go and how to do that. And quite frankly, you should be asking the departments exactly how they spend their dollars, every one of these dollars that they get in the different departments that you've got. Ask them to do an account of a spreadsheet on that. Who we got next? Alaska Gas Line Development Corp.
Is that you, Miles?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Bruce Tangeman, Vice President for Finance and Administration for AGDC. Online, we also have Fritz Krusen, Interim President, Frank Richards, Vice President of Projects, and Lisa Wilcox, our Interim Commercial Vice President.
Gets
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Miles Baker, Vice President of External Affairs, Government Relations for AGDC. And if you're ready, I'll start our presentation. Thank you for having us. We are here today to give you it's a relatively brief presentation in terms of slides. We tried to put the information as simply as possible on the slides, but welcome any questions you have. On the first slide, just for those that haven't been here since the beginning, we just wanted a quick review of the process of the natural gas project development. In 2009 is when the legislature really started setting some money aside and putting some policy direction in place to look at the feasibility of the state developing a project on its own. And that was put together as a task force under Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. They came forward then with a plan to do that, which became the Alaska Standalone Pipeline in 2011. Spent another year, then the legislature wasn't quite ready to do it then, and spent another year refining that plan, changing the design basis a little bit. And then in 2013, the legislature passed the legislation, HB 4, to create Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation as a standalone corporation, and then accompanied that with a $355 million appropriation into the newly created in-state natural gas pipeline fund, which AGDC manages. We have an agreement with Department of Revenue to do the treasury function on that, but it's a fund that we manage at AGDC. The very next year in 2014 is when the state decided to partner with Exxon, BP, Conoco, Exxon, BP, and Conoco on the Alaska LNG project. And that piece of legislation was SB 138. At that time, we set up a separate fund called the Liquefied Natural Gas Pipeline Fund, and there was an appropriation to get us started on that as well. So currently, we are at AGDC. We have two projects. The Alaska LNG project has been made clear by the legislature, the governor, our board, and everyone is the highest priority for the state. That's where over the last 2 years the bulk of our time, energies, and money have gone. But we also are maintaining the readiness of the ASAP project as a backup for the state should the other project not go forward.
So, Mr. Baker, as you're going through this, again, we've got the ASAP line, AGDC line. If there's any money that's used that was appropriated for Alaska Standalone Pipeline, moving over towards Alaska Gas Line Development Corp or any of your operational costs, please talk about that as you go through your presentation.
Okay. Will do, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Just I want to put a fine point, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Baker, you just said that the in-state or ASAP line, you're going to use those terms occasionally interchangeably?
If I said that, I apologize, Rep. Sadler. We sort of internally call it the ASAP fund, but that's not a correct. Because it is the in-state, nice segue to the next slide, it's the in-state natural gas pipeline fund, which is used to progress ASAP, but it also is used for the offtake work we're doing, the part of our mission that's getting the gas from a project and just getting it out to Alaskans.
Good chair. Follow up.
And that was through authority in Senate Bill 138 that allowed that to happen. I'm just trying to go back in history on your authority to use those funds.
HB 4 created this fund, and it's fairly broad, but it's in essence it's for to develop the it points to the project plan. There, ASAP is never actually mentioned in the statute. It points to the project plan that the legislature approved that became ASAP. And then there's also language in there that covers our authority to deal with in-state gas issues in general.
Mr. Miles, your voice tends to trail off as you get done at the end of your
sentence,
so just be cognizant of that.
Okay.
Representative, or Mr. Tangeman, then we have Representative Sadler and Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could try and help clarify a little bit of the confusion between the two fund sources and how the operations are funded by those. Originally, when the In-State Pipeline Fund was put in place, it was to explore one project, the ASAP project, which was very cut and dried, one fund source. You have operating costs, you have capital costs, you're paying contractors, you're paying a handful of employees. So that was very cut and dried when it was originally envisioned. Now layer in the AKLNG project. Now AGDC, the corporation, never had its own fund source. You layer in another fund source, AKLNG. So we worked with our external auditors, and we put in place something called a cost allocation method. So that was establishing what the corporate requirements were on the operating side, and then drawing funds from both fund sources to fund the corporate operations. So there is, to clarify, we have the In-State Pipeline Fund for the ASAP project originally, and then we have the AKLNG fund set up to work on the AKLNG
project. You have the ability to, if members ask where money flowed through there or different funds or different expenditures, do you have the ability to present them with that information on any of these dollars that are spent?
Yes, sir.
Representative Wilson and Munoz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So for this project, are all the funds that for this project with you, or do you also have some funding in other agencies for this project?
So all of the funds that AGDC needs either to work on our portion of developing these projects or to finance the operations of the corporation, we have. We also have in those funds some money that the legislature put in those funds for the agencies to use, and those are handled through, with sort of one exception, which we'll get to in a moment. Those are handled through RSA, reimbursable service agreement, and Bruce may want to talk about that, because while the money comes in for a purpose in the budget process, the determination of whether the money is actually going to be used is based on a contractual agreement between the agency and AGDC, and it's intended to be in support of work AGDC needs to have done to move the project forward.
And if I can expand on that a little bit through the chair, Representative Wilson, the original appropriation, actually the second number on this slide of $25 million, was envisioned to be used for RSA work done by other departments, DEC, transportation, et cetera. You all well know that you put a fiscal note in place and there's 5 years worth of funding projected. Well, it was our responsibility to establish, okay, where are we in the project and what work do we need done? So a great example was DEC, second year of their fiscal note, said two positions for X amount of dollars. So come July 1st, you know, we get a knock on the door from DEC, it's time to hire two people and RSA that amount of money. Well, we sat down with them and explained we didn't need that work done at this time. We didn't know if we were ever going to need that work done, so we were not going to move the money to DEC to hire those positions until we needed that work from them. And they understood that, but it was the fiscal note is generally, you know, a projection of what might be used, but it was our responsibility to determine, did we really need that work? Did we need two more employees hired? And for that particular case, it was for air or water monitoring. We didn't need it at the time. So we were, for that particular tranche of money, it was our responsibility to determine what work was needed at the time. And Frank Richards, who's online, can certainly speak to a lot more of it, because he was the one who was overseeing the project and deciding, okay, where were we in the project and what did we need help with from the other departments?
Representative Munoz.
Thank you. When does the work on the in-state line kind of meld with the work of the AKLNG project? I see several different silos here. I see DNR Personnel Services, $5.5 million for the bigger project, and $1.5 million from AGDC for the bigger project for personal services, and then $5.7 for the smaller project. I mean, at what point do those efforts come together? And
Representative Munoz, through the chair, and I don't know if Fritz Cruzen wants to address this. He's our acting president, but we at the corporation are following the policy direction that we've been given, you know, as your gas line company. Our current direction, you've given us policy and statute direction and appropriations to move two projects forward. And one has a higher priority now than the other one does. Our assumption our operating assumption has been that at some point in the near future, particularly looking at the cost of feed, that there would be a policy decision to perhaps stop the ASAP project completely. But as long as it was still needing to be maintained as a fallback plan for the state, there's some money associated with keeping that viable and ready. So our focus at the corporation is on those projects. We are the kit people is sort of the term we use, managing the kits themselves. The agencies have roles outside of that. The sovereign, as the gas owner, has roles, needs money to work on commercial agreements relative to these projects. And so some of the money, as David Teal just described, has gone directly to those agencies in those roles. And where it made more sense that they were those agencies like DEC and DOT were doing permitting and design work specific to the kit, to the projects, that made more sense that it come through AGDC. And so that's how we've tried to manage it.
Mr. Chairman, if I can follow
Representative
up on
Munoz.
That. So on, are any of the employees that are at AGDC doing work on both projects? Are the same employees doing work on both projects?
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, all the employees at AGDC, and we have about 18 total, there's 38 PCMs, but we have 18 actual employees, are overseeing the corporate function and are working on assisting the work on both projects.
And then one more final question. And looking at the budget, and we're not there yet in your presentation, but I'm jumping ahead. Again, there's two silos going on. For travel, $200,000 for the in-state project and $264,000 for the bigger project. So that, for your agency, $464,000 just for travel.
Are you look, Representative Munoz?
On page 5.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, Representative Munoz. So on page 5, and that's fine for us to go to that, that's really a summary of AGDC's expenditures. We, to Bruce's earlier point, when we were initially set up and created, we had one appropriation and one allocation, and it was called AGDC because we were only working on one project. The entire corporation was created to move one project forward. So you'll see that, and it's highlighted in blue here. So all the blue area is the corporate operating expense that was originally set up with and is charged to the in-state natural gas pipeline fund. When SB 138 passed, we were given a new allocation called Alaska LNG Participation, and a new fund and a new appropriation, and a portion, and we were given six new positions. And so a portion, so our total operating cost is a portion of that, the majority, as Bruce mentioned, comes from the in-state fund, and a portion of it comes from the AKLNG fund. So for FY 2017, you've got $200,000 in travel in the top line and $264,000 in the bottom line.
And if I can expand on that, Mr. Chairman. Representative Munoz, if you look back at the actuals for 14 and 15, it's 85,000 and 73,000. Mm-hmm. Now, AGDC is a relatively young organization still. You all appropriated a tranche of money and a 32 PCNs, and it was basically, here's the project we want you to accomplish, go do it. Well, we certainly didn't run out and fill 32 PCNs. We did have money allocated to the different line items, travel, contractual, commodities, but this year is really, I believe the travel line was actually higher as a budget item, but you can tell the actuals are significantly lower. So the first couple of years when we were building the operating budget, we didn't have any history to say, okay, this is what travel should be going forward. So it was fairly stagnant and consistent. This is really the first year where we started moving money in the budget between the line items based on history. So we're not saying we're going to do $200,000 in travel. In fact, I would say let's look at 14 and 15 as the more accurate numbers. But what this budget represents is a status quo budget, and that's the way we presented it to our board, and the board agreed when we were building our budget and getting ready to send it up to OMB in November, we were also going through a special session. So it was not ripe. It was not the appropriate time to be making significant changes to a proposed budget because we didn't know where we were going at the time. The bottom line to all this is the money has been appropriated to a lump sum. Whatever money we don't spend on travel remains in the fund. So we can tell you exactly what we're doing, but if it's not spent, it remains in that fund and it remains available for the project, be it pre-feed work or feed work or ASAP work.
Members, I don't want to get, we are going to get deeper into their budget, but there's a process to get up to that. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bruce, on page 5, on the right column.
Oh, we can get into their budget when we get to page 5. I'd prefer that if we can go back to the presentation of line 2.
Oh, were they on page?
We're going to get through this.
Okay.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Going back to your point about, like, your request from DEC, you saw that it wasn't necessary, so you didn't fund it. Trying to figure out and look back at rumors and everything else that goes on, at any point in time, was AGDC ordered to forward fund for work that they didn't feel met the scope of work AGDC had or that they thought it was necessary?
Short answer is no, Representative Thompson, through the chair, but I'd like Frank Richards, perhaps, if he's online, he could certainly address that question of how we generally build our budget scope and work.
I think your no answer is sufficient, unless we want to follow up.
Let's have a follow-up from Mr. Richards. Mr. Richards?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Frank Richards, AGDC Vice President. With the RSA contracts that essentially that AGDC enters into with the agencies, they are on for a fiscal year basis. And each year we look at the actual scope of work that is necessary for those departments to be able to complete, and we review their budget. So in all cases, we look just at what we will need from those agencies, whether it be DOT or DNR or DEC, and that's what we agree to with the RSA. So it's only for work that's absolutely necessary and will be conducted in that fiscal year.
President Thompson?
So there wasn't any unnecessary or what you felt unnecessary work that you were asked to fund? I mean, we've been staying along the right track.
No, we have been very, very stingy in the allocation of funds. Specifically, like as Bruce mentioned, DEC, and we also had work working with DOT, where they're under the original fiscal note, they were looking at $700,000, and we actually cut their need or their work activities back to approximately $200,000. So it was only for work that was absolutely necessary at the time.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So, page 3, can you just kind of break down and just kind of go through this then?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, We're now on page 3, and we have the next slide will be the Alaska LNG Fund, but this is the, we understood that folks wanted to know the cash flow of our funds. So we started, as I mentioned before, this fund itself was really created through HB4, so it didn't exist prior to 2014, but when the fund was created, appropriations that had been made to Alaska Housing Finance Corp. For the early development of the ASAP concept were reappropriated into the fund when it was created. So the first line you see there, the $17,184,000, is the starting balance of the fund that was based on reappropriates from unexpended, unobligated balances from the work that AHFC had done. Then with HB4 was the accompanying appropriation that we discussed, $330 million. Was the amount expected to bring the ASAP project to a project sanctioning decision. There were $25 million for the agency support work for FY14 through FY19. And we've sort of touched on that, and we can certainly, Bruce and I talked about this, we can go back and actually run a report for the committee on how much of that RSA work has happened and who it went to. And to the point Frank made is that $25 million was based on an assumption that the ASAP project was going to construction, and going to construction at that time, I believe, in FY17. So as things have changed, and clearly ASAP is not going into construction, you know, every year you get away from that original fiscal note, those projections are less and less reliable, and that's why every year fiscal notes are put back in, but then each of the agencies has to justify them.
So Mr. Baker, you mentioned that all the expenditures that are going out through different agencies and stuff, if you can get us, we'd like to see what other departments are getting those funds, at what level, and also if you could include in that the request from those departments, I'm assuming they give you why they're going to be spending that money before you give it to them.
Actually,
so if they have requests on that of why they're going to be doing that, please include all that information.
Mr. Chairman, I would phrase it slightly different. It's not what they're requesting from us. It's what we're asking them to do on our behalf. But we can absolutely put that together for you.
Okay. Representative Munoz?
Are we near a sanctioning decision on this project?
Representative Munoz, through the chair. So with the passage of Senate Bill 138, the state made the Alaska LNG project the priority project. ASAP, we concluded FEED. We've concluded FEED on that project, which we did in December of 2014. And at that point, the next step for the ASAP project, which would have happened last year, is we would have filed our recourse tariff filing with RCA. We would have had an open season and then gone to a project sanctioning. But all of that commercial work was put on hold based on the policy decision to move forward with the Alaska LNG project.
And just one final question. How long can that commercial work be put on hold and still be useful if it were reactivated in the future?
Mr. Chairman, if I could refer that perhaps to Mr. Richards or Ms. Wilcox, that's online, who's our commercial lead.
Mr. Chairman, Frank Richards, through the chair, Representative Munoz, the cost estimate and the work product that we developed for ASAP, essentially that allowed us to potentially go forward to the RCA, it was essentially the conclusion of a FEED effort, a front end engineering and design effort. That work is still available to AGDC. The cost estimate was based on 2014 dollars. So in order to go forward with any commercial development and recourse tariff filing with the RCA, we would likely need to update that with $2016 dollars or $2017 dollars, whatever the point in time was. But we have what we felt we delivered was a very detailed and definitive plan in order to construct this project?
I think so. I was trying to understand if, based on what we've done so far, if it were to be put on hold, can that information be used successfully in the future if we decided to go forward with this project?
Through the chair and Representative Munoz, yes, it absolutely can.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On this page, everything in red is an expenditure, correct? And is everything that says ASAP being spent for solely being spent for the in-state gas line?
Representative Guerra, through the chair, that's correct, except that as you see in 2016 and even more pronounced in 2017, our projections, you'll see that we've added ASAP project / in-state gas work. And that's, I referred previously to the fact that one of AGDC's missions is, regardless of which project moves forward, we're responsible for siting, developing, and engineering in-state offtakes and deciding where those interconnection points. And we've just last year really got to the phase of development where we're earnestly starting to work on that. So most of that is going. In fact, the 2016 figure, I believe, of that $19 million, $16 million of that is ASAP, what we certainly say ASAP specific. And then we've also been doing quite a bit of early engineering work and beginning our commercial work on the in-state gas piece.
Through the chair.
Representative Guerra.
So I understand if there's work that works for both pipelines that you're doing. We've all discussed that there will never be two pipelines coming from the North Slope because that would be a waste of money. And I just want to see how much money we're spending on two separate pipelines right now. So of that $19 million in 2016 that was spent on the ASAP project, how much of that is necessary for the large pipeline project? Is $16 million really just solely being spent on the small project?
Mr. Chairman, could I refer that to Mr. Richards, that question?
Mr. Richards.
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, again, Frank Richards, AGDC. Of the $16 million that Miles referred to in 2016, that work was essentially the completion of the major engineering studies that had been undertaken to advance the ASAP project. That's where we concluded with the Class 3 estimate in December of 2014, but we also had to complete some of the major field and engineering works, primarily along the alignment for our waterways crossings, for our civil works, for our material site selection, for some of the necessary environmental reviews for cultural resource and wetlands. Now, those items that I just spoke to are of value to any project, and they are at a higher enough level of engineering that they can be used in feed. They were for feed for ASAP, but they can be used for feed for an AKLNG project as necessary. What we did in the summer of 2015 was we worked collaboratively with the AKLNG project, and we came up with a common alignment for the two pipeline segments of those two projects. So from Prudhoe Bay down to the Susitna River crossing in South Central Alaska, both the AKLNG project and the ASAP project are in a common right-of-way and a common center line. So that means that the field work that we've developed, the geotechnical boreholes, all of that other engineering work that I just spoke to, has benefit to both projects. So what you'll see under the 2016, that there's also a $1.3 million appropriation or authorization sheet authority for work that we had conducted for AKLNG. And we are working quite extensively in collaboration with AKLNG to utilize the knowledge and the information that we have obtained for ASAP in the development of AKLNG. But we took quite seriously the legislative directive is for us not to duplicate work and to have value for the work that, the state of Alaska paid for under ASAP and make sure that there's value provided to the state back from work efforts that we're underdoing with both projects.
The chair.
Representative Gare.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. I just want to dot I's and cross T's on this. So in 2016, on the expenditures that are listed for ASAP and in-state gas work, and 2017 for that $4.3 million listed for ASAP and the $5 million for in-state gas work, is all of that needed also for the large line, or is some of that not needed for the large line?
Through the chair, Representative Gare, I'll take that in two tranches. For the ASAP work in 2017, those funds represent is essentially the level of effort to complete the supplemental environmental impact statement. Now, that is the regulatory process being led by the Army Corps that is looking at the impacts of the new routing alignment for the ASAP project. So there's a lot of regulatory involvement, a lot of development and interaction with the regulators on a common alignment between the two projects. So that's helpful in the conversation to both parties. But the goal at the end of the completion of the supplemental environmental impact statement will be a record decision and a granting to AGDC for the Section 404 wetlands permit, but also for the federal granting of the right-of-way across federal lands along that alignment. So that would mean then when the SAS is completed in 2017 that we will have granted to AGDC all of the state right-of-way and then all of the federal right-of-way lands on that common alignment leading from Prudhoe Bay down to South Central Alaska. So that is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, that we are shooting for with that work effort. And then that would be then a resource that would be owned by AGDC available to any pipeline project proceeding. The in-state gas work is work that is going to be common to any project also, where we have to look at the needs of Alaskans and the availability and opportunity to be able to provide gas off of a pipeline project to communities. And then look at what the legislature defined for us or presented to us, which was providing gas at commercially reasonable rates. So we have to make sure we have a better understanding of that term, commercially reasonable rate, to be able to determine the best way to provide gas or gas derivatives to communities and citizens and utilities in Alaska. So that's the work effort that we see will be going forward in 17 with continuing engineering studies and cost estimates and collaboration as aggregation for in-state needs.
Through the chair.
Representative Gare.
Thank you. Mr. Richards, I understand the directive, which is we didn't want to duplicate spending, right? And I understand most of what you said, which is a lot, much, most, maybe all of this work is relevant and needed for AGDC. I mean, here's the specific question. Is there any money in 2016 or for 2017 that's being spent on the ASAP or in-state line that is not needed for the large line? Like, is there any – we want to spend the minimum money possible, at least I do. So is any of this money in 2016 or 2017 that's designated for the in-state project or the ASAP project, is any of that money that's being spent not necessary for the large line?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, the two projects are at two different stages of development. And so with the environmental impact work that is being done and being led by the Army Corps, they're following the Corps process for developing and following the National Environmental Policy Act. The AKLNG project is being led by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission under Section 3 as an integrated LNG project. And so what we're concluding this year in 2016 is the pre-FEED work effort. So a lot more preliminary work, a lot less detail, But in terms of the regulatory review of the projects, the environmental process that is being undertaken right now with the development of the resource reports for AKLNG, a lot of the work effort, common work effort with the AGDC Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement is of benefit. And it's we as a co-owner within AKLNG are utilizing that information and knowledge in our review and advancement of the resource reports.
Mr. Richards, I think he was asking for a yes or no question. Could you repeat that?
Thank you, Mr. Richards. I'm just speaking for myself. Let's say I'm a guy who doesn't want to spend a single penny beyond what's needed to move the large pipeline forward. So, you've said most, a lot. How much money is being spent on the ASAP project or the in-state gas line project? I see them as the same, but they're listed separately. How much is being spent that is not necessary for the large gas line, the AKLNG gas line? And then when we know that, then we'll be able to make a policy decision whether we should still be doing that if we're spending money that's not necessary for the large gas line. If you could answer that question, then we'll know.
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, if you're asking me for a specific dollar amount that would not be spent to advance the ASAP project, so in regards to the AKLNG project, I don't have that number off the top of my head.
Can you give us an estimate?
Mr. Chairman, I have to consider what our joint venture requirements are under the Alaska LNG project and the actual work that's being undertaken in the timeline. So I apologize for, I'm not trying to be evasive, I just want to be able to provide a reasonable number back to the legislature.
Representative Garrett, follow up.
Mr. Richards, I guess what I would like to know is for 2016 and then for the proposal for 2017 in both years, what we spent last year and what we're being asked to spend this year, how much money is being spent, was spent, or is being proposed to be spent that is not necessary for the big line? We can debate whether or not to go ahead with the big line later on, but how much is being spent and was spent these 2 years that was not necessary or is not necessary for the big line? We've got a deficit, and that's my concern. So if you can't answer it right now, then you can answer it in writing soon as we're working on the budgets. But I guess I have to say I've asked this question like four times, and like the first two times there were words like most, but almost like I was being led down the trail that it was all necessary, and it wasn't all necessary. So I guess we need to know how much.
Mr. Chairman, if I could help a little bit.
Tangent.
And this goes back to Representative Munoz's question as well. You know, what's the shelf life of something that actually gets complete on the ASAP project? We put it on a shelf. Can it be used? So some of the work is things that need to be completed. We've come a long way to get something that's shelf ready. So that's part of what we will look at is what do we view as we need to finish it, and it needs to go on a shelf to be used on whatever project goes forward.
Okay, so according to your information on page 3, the amount of money to clean to do to finish up the environmental impact statement is $4,310,000.
Correct.
So you need other ASAP funds to do the AKLNG project?
Mr. Chairman, the funds that are required to work and complete the AKLNG project are on the next page. So those are specifically.
Do you need any other ASAP funds besides the $4,310,000 from ASAP to do AKLNG?
Mr. Chairman, Miles Baker for the record. To elaborate on Bruce, I would say most of what we need for the Alaska LNG project is funded out of the, and that we'll see in the next page, with the large exception that most of the corporate overhead is charged to the in-state fund, just by the nature of the history of how we were created and the appropriation that funds 85% of corporate overhead. Were we to, so I would just say the twist of the question is the AKLNG fund was really set up primarily to fund the project cash calls. There was a small operating component that was associated with six new positions, only two of which we've ever filled, that was anticipated to be overhead. The majority of the corporation's overhead comes out of the in-state fund. And that's represented on a different line here, but
that's, I think, what Representative Garrett was trying to get to, and that's what we're trying to get to, and that's why exactly why we wanted to put different flood coding in there so we can see where things are at. So, and I understand that Representative Pruitt and Sadler, but we're going to focus on this one real quick. That's why we have this presentation here. So if you go to that, then you have already stated that the AKLNG is the priority, right? That's the number one. That's what we're spending money on. So if we look at the fund codes for Alaska Gasline Development Corporation, in-state pipeline, code 1229, you're asking $10.1 million for operating costs for FY17 governor's amended budget. But you're also asking $2.8 million from AKGDC LNG, fund code 1235, for in-state operation costs.
Correct.
So you're taking money from, although your priority is AKLNG, you're taking the money out of the ASAP line or in-state line. And I think that's the concern of members, is when you come in and ask for a request for Alaska, the AKLNG, which is supposed to be your priority. And I can see finishing up the EIS, it's almost completed, you can get that done. But why are you taking all your operational costs out of Alaska Standalone Pipeline Project? That's not your priority. If you needed operational costs for the AKLNG, you should have asked for operational costs out of AKLNG. This is why we wanted to make sure that we were getting different fund codes so we can see where you're taking the money from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the point that Representative Guerra was trying to get to, is if this is going to be the priority, you need to have AKLNG so we can understand what AKLNG's funding is, what your funding requests are for that project. And it's more than just a little bit of money. I call $10 million more than just a little bit of money. Instead of taking a little bit of money out of ASAP's line for this, where you're taking $10.1 million out. How many other expenditures do you expect to get out of the ASAP line besides that? If you can get us a report, that'd be appropriate.
Yes, sir.
Then we'll get the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, in kind of in the same vein, but a little different. The money for 2017, who determines or approves of kind of the budget that you have there? Is the board that approves that, or is that from management?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, it is our board of directors.
Okay. If there is a need for additional funds, you have the $14 million that's left over. Can the board go ahead and determine that they would utilize that at any point in time over the next year? This is your proposal. They could, if you need more, they could potentially approve the use of more. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, that's correct. This is to represent the work that we see as an organization we need to accomplish, not only to finish one project or the other, but to prepare to enter FEED.
Okay.
Which will happen sometime during FY17. These projects don't sync up with the budget cycle. So we are assuming a success case of finishing pre-FEED work, doing the analysis, and then entering FEED. And that's what these numbers for FY17 on both of these pages represent. Now, if that does not come to fruition, the money is still sitting in these two fund sources, and they can be reappropriated as this body and the other body sees fit. But we are assuming if we're going to complete pre-feed and it's successful and we're going to head into feed, this is what the picture looks like for FY17.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, to clarify on that, so at the end of 2017, with the money that you've highlighted there that you proposed, that should get us to the end of a pre-feed. That should get us through pre-feed and into feed. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, yes, into feed. So this represents we would be in feed sometime during FY17.
Starting to move into it. Okay. So, Mr. Chair, so if right now you have about $10 million that goes towards AGDC, we've highlighted these two items. What about can the board determine that some of this money be utilized for things outside of just AGDC, or for, in this case, it's supposed to be just for its operating costs, but you still have $14 million there, and even the other fund only has $2 million at the end. Let's say that there's a desire for certain contracting that's needed for AGDC. Can the board appropriate the $14 million that's in this pot towards something that may be applied outside of the operating costs of AGDC that you've highlighted there, if that's what they feel like they want to apply it towards?
Mr. Chair, Pruitt, to the chair, if I could address this. I would say there's two things that are important to remember. One is that the two funds were created by statute and have very specific language around how the funds can be used. So the appropriations came into the – so the statute created the fund. The appropriations capitalized the fund. We, the corporation, through our board of directors, has fairly broad authority because, in essence, it's a large capital appropriation. So just like with other agencies, pretty broad authority on how to spend that capital within the statutory framework of the fund. In fact, both funds specifically say that we can spend out of that fund without further appropriation. That said, but what we do have to do every year, also as part of our enabling statute, is we are part of the Executive Budget Act for purposes of our operating budget, and that's why every year you see us come forward with, in this case, you know, a $13 million request for operations between both funds for FY17, and we're asking for authority to basically spend the money you've already given us for that purpose. The board approves that, but then it comes through the governor's regular cycle and shows up in the operating budget. On the capital side, for these larger project spend, management puts together a work program and budget very similar to the one we talked about that the AKLNG project had put together, and we present that to our board, and they authorize that spending. But I would say it's in a very narrow framework of the ASAP project as understood by what we all understood that to be, and the Alaska LNG project as we understand that to be.
Okay, so to follow up on that, so the money that we approve, just clarify, make sure that I understand, because a lot of statute back there that you're the expert on, and I appreciate helping me weed through it. The $13 million, we have to approve you spending that, or can you go, or is it more of a formality? You tell us that this is what you're planning on spending. We actually have to go ahead and approve that.
We need to, through the chair, Representative Pruitt, we need the authority to spend that. It's principally for personal services. We have authority for, as Bruce said, 38 public employees. We're not state employees, but they're employees that are funded with public dollars that came through this capital appropriation. Yeah. And we have corporate overhead associated with that. So the request from the legislature from the beginning has been that we come back every year. So we need authority to spend that level on our corporate operations out of that fund. We have a lot of contractors that we hire that aren't part of that operating number that show up in the project contractual line. So, I mean, hypothetically, we could replace everyone with contractors and spend it down on the capital side if we didn't get a operating appropriation this year, but that certainly would make things difficult.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chair, so the $14 million, you're if I understand it right, that will just sit there in the fund. You do not have the ability to utilize that because we haven't approved that. Is that correct statement?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, the way we view any balance at the end of any year as seed money for the next stage.
Okay.
So if nothing was to take place in the legislature, that money would sit there at the end of FY17 and would be available as seed money to enter feed.
Okay, and then so I think the last question then would be the money that we appropriate or that we approve you utilizing this year, can it be used for anything outside of AKLNG or AGDC? Can it be used for any other sort of project or investigation into any other project, any other opportunity to commercialize North Slope gas? Can any of the money that we're approving that you guys utilize be used for anything else like that?
Representative Pruitt, through the chair, I think the short answer is no.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And just some housekeeping. It's obvious. I think the members have a lot of questions for AGDC. There's a lot of issues here. So the overview from the Department of Natural Resources, Revenue and Law on AKLNG, we're going to reschedule them so we can let them get back to work on their other projects. We'll bring them back at another date. We've got a half hour. Let's finish up with AKLNG right now because I think we're going to use up at least our time there, and I want to make sure that they can get back to work. Representative, so we had Pruitt, Sadler, and Wilson, and Guerra. Representative Sadler?
Thank you, Representative Chair. Actually, the conversation has kind of left me in the dust. My questions were about the disparity between the operating costs for the in-state pipe fund and the AKLNG fund. I just want to reiterate to confirm, please, for me that the $14 million that is currently left as seed money for the in-state pipeline fund could be used for AKLNG project or could not? Real simple. Could or could not? And a follow-up.
Could not.
Could not. Great. And you mentioned, through the chair, I don't remember which you gentlemen said something about the corporate structure of AGDC seemed to indicate that more of the cost for the work done would fall on the in-state line. My general question, which I think the previous two questioners were, if the in-state line is indeed a lower priority, why does the operating cost come in at $10 million for the in-state line and $2.8 million for the AKLNG line? But I think a hint may be in that you said the corporate structure. So I want to give you the opportunity to explain what is the corporate structure that demands that disparity?
If I could address this, and I'm happy to see Bruce add in or anyone else, but I guess I would go back to it's really a policy call when the in-state pipeline fund was established. The corporation was created only to move forward. Our only mission was a one-trick pony corporation. Our job was to get a project to sanctioning, build it, and then the understanding was the corporation would shrink down, and that was our whole concept. Was a very small number of employees, use contractors. And so it was fairly straightforward. When the Alaska LNG project was envisioned and we got the money for that, the money we got for that was almost all for the project itself. There was never at that time, because it was too early in the development of the project, we anticipated at that time we only needed maybe six new people because we were going to leverage the existing structure and organization and see where that project went. Now, over the last year and a half, 2 years, that's clearly developed as Bruce said, the management of the corporation, the majority of our time is spent on Alaska LNG, and we've had discussions about the fact that we are operating under the same corporate structure we had when HB4 was passed, and this is a very different world. And so we've talked internally, we've talked with OMB about when is the appropriate time, for us to sort of resize that. It may involve the fund sources coming together. It may involve moving money from fund source to fund source. And the decision internally was that it might be the most important or the most relevant time to have that discussion is in a gas line special session where we're talking about feed, because our assumption was that's probably the next major decision point, that the question about what is ASAP and where are we going with that would be answered. Could it be done sooner than that? Potentially, because we agree that on the surface it looks odd that so much of our corporate overhead is charged to a fund, not a project, but a fund that was originally established to advance a specific project. But in the absence of the money in that fund, we can't fund the corporation. So when the money came in for AKLNG, we didn't add to that 50% of the corporate operating or transfer out of the in-state fund to the AKLNG 50% of our corporate operating. And we developed a cost allocation methodology that we thought was appropriate based on our internal auditors. And because the appropriations were large when they first were made, we haven't gotten to a point where we potentially, what we're getting close, on the Alaska LNG fund, you see that based on our projections, we couldn't move 50% of our corporate operations to that fund because we don't have, there's not enough money in that fund. It could be moved out of the ASAP fund, potentially into the AKLNG fund. So that's, I know, maybe a long answer, Mr. Chairman, but.
Just on that point, I see Representative Sadler to follow, but on that point, why wouldn't we just pull back the ASAP money, clarify it, and work on an AKLNG project if that's the priority?
If I
so
could,
that there's not a confusion of what fund source the money's coming from.
If I could field that question, Mr. Chairman, I think there probably is a sentiment that, you know, for the AKLNG project, we meet very large cash calls each month. The AKLNG project, headed by Steve Butt, has a host of folks from the different corporations working on that, including some TC folks. We as the state's gas corporation, and if you're looking at it from a purely accounting procedure, you need an accountant to cut a check each month. Maybe an auditor, maybe a I mean, you could really take this to an extreme discussion of you only need a couple people. It's our responsibility to have the oversight and do the due diligence of participating as an equal partner, a 25% partner in the project. That includes having engineering oversight and the financial aspect, commercial aspects. So while we're showing the bulk of the operations on the ASAP, or the in-state pipeline project, we as a state would never get to the point where we would just have a couple people and let AKLNG do all the work without having due diligence and oversight. So we want to get to the point where we combine these fund sources, because that means we've made a decision and we're going into feed on AKLNG.
We may help you out with that.
And that'd be fine, Mr. Chairman, but it's not ripe for us to make that decision when our budgets were put together last November. This is changing rapidly on the AKLNG side, and we're preparing. We're showing you what the fund sources are. We're giving you our best estimate of what the corporation needs to look like exiting pre-feed and heading into feed. What fund source is being used to fund those operations, we can debate that. We can move the money as you see fit.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is important. I think we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do, is track the progress and status of all this large amounts of money that have been appropriated for specific purposes. And I guess to put a point on it, I guess, there have been so many changes. This is a large, complex project, and we all want it to go best we can. I know you gentlemen work very hard for that. But there have been a number of surprises and head faints and concealed, I won't say concealed, that imputes motive, but frustrating and surprising developments in this whole gas line saga that I think the concern and the prudence that you're hearing from the members of this committee are appropriate. We want to make sure that the money appropriated for a specific purpose does not pop up someplace else where we didn't intend it, and it may technically or legally be allowed, but is clearly not what we intended. So that's the genesis, at least, of my questions, and I appreciate the candor and forthrightness of AGDC doing the best they can to let us know where the money we're appropriating is being spent, and more importantly, sometimes not being spent.
And through the chair, Representative Sadler, we absolutely understand that. Our job as the state's gas corporation is to finish pre-feed and prepare for feed. So we're sticking to the project level of what that would look like.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm glad somebody understands where the money's going, because I still don't get it. But my question is, so of the $10,448,000 that you have up there as your corporate operating costs, $7.2 million of that is personal services, correct? 5.7 plus 1.5 equals 7.2.
Where are we at?
I'm just using the 10,004,000, but they have it broken down on page 5 of what's actually personal services. Just trying to find out whether or not we're using both these numbers that are both contained into the $10 million. The personal services that you have under in-state on page 5. Oh. And that you have on LNG, are those two numbers part of your $10,448,000?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, the 5998 from page 5 is incorporated in that 10448 that you just referenced.
Okay, so one line too far over.
The bottom section, the 1509 that you referenced, that would be on the next page. Yes. Page 4.
That comes out of the incident.
Yeah.
Follow up. So how many actual people then in that personal services do you have hired? Because I keep hearing how many you could have hired, but I keep losing of how many for both, because this contains both in-state and AKLNG in this particular line, correct?
Page 5 personal services, if we could jump to that. So are you talking 16 or 17?
16.
Well, I'm just trying to match the 10 million. So I guess it's 2016 is what you have it underneath. So you have 10,448,000 on page 3. I'm just trying to figure out if page 3 matches up with 5 on personal services, and do I have to go up and use the 5998 and then back down to do the 1509? So you got to put them together.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, this 5998. Is in the $10 million of the in-state fund, and because this whole shaded area, this whole part of our operating budget, is funded out of the in-state fund. This personal services, this 1509, is out of the AKLNG fund, which is where we haven't gotten to yet.
Okay, so with the
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, I'm just trying to think really hard. Okay, so the $5,998,000, how many people does that represent?
It's
through the chair, Representative Wilson, that's 32 PCNs.
Okay, let me re-ask that, because I heard that, Mr. Chair. You had 32 that you could, but you kept saying you didn't hire 32 people. Correct. So how many people do you actually have hired? See, that's our frustration, is because... You know where we're trying to get to. So
no, absolutely. That through the chair, Representative Wilson, there are actually 16 employees.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, follow up, please. Okay, so using my handy calculator that I have right here, that would be an average salary of $374,875.
No, Representative Wilson, through the chair.
If a representative is asking a question, please let her answer the question. Don't do that again.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, Representative Wilson, the 5998 represents a budgeted amount of 32 PCNs, of which we have never filled. So the actual salary amount and benefit amount for actual employees is quite a bit less than that 5998.
Follow up?
Representative Wilson.
So you're going to give the money back? I mean, because if you've had 32 budgeted for, can you change my question, please?
I'm going to ask it pretty quick. Representative Wilson.
So how many years have you had 32 PCNs you could have hired? Did it start at 2014 or before?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, when the corporation was created, the legislature authorized 32 PCNs.
Okay. Follow up?
Representative Wilson.
So for all the years that you haven't had 32 and you haven't utilized that money, I'm assuming that's part of this $14 million that you have left over?
Yes, ma'am.
I still want the money back.
Here's the problem, gentlemen. We're sitting here trying to cut Department of Public Safety's budget, Health and Services budget, necessary services for seniors with disabilities. You're coming in, you want $200,000 for travel. Your travel costs have been $85, $73, you asked for $200. Your personnel costs, you're coming in for $6 million. Your actual cost for $3 million for 16 people instead of 32 people. We're trying to develop a budget. We're squeezing dimes out of necessary operations within this state. And it's like you come in and you ask like there's no limit to the amount of money. And the people around this table right now are pretty damn tired of trying to fund these budgets, trying to find dimes. And this is what we get for requests, and we're supposed to just say, yep, no problem.
All right.
I want to come in with some actual statements. I want to see what your actual costs are, what you expect them to be, because I can tell you right now, I don't think the mood of this committee is to fund the request as you're coming in right now. So I'd suggest you come in with some other numbers. Or at least come in and say, I'm going to hire 32. Here's where they're going to be. Here's where we expect them. Here's why we need them. And in part of all this cost is cost for selling our gas. We don't even know if there's going to be a pipeline. Yeah, you're asking for money to go out for commercialization. We're hiring people that the governor wants to hire people at almost $1 million a piece a year. $1 million. Ask any one of these budget chairs if they'd like to have $1 million that they could spend on public safety, corrections, Department of Environmental Conservation, DOT, HESS, DNR. They'd love to have $3,000. Yet, they're going to come up against the same request as this in the final budget. And we have to compare your numbers and the needs of your department in this gas pipeline against every other need in the state. And I think you're starting to see a little bit of the frustration of this committee. I expect to see some numbers come back that tell us exactly why and how every dollar you expect to spend needs to be spent. Because that's what we're asking every other department in the state of Alaska to do. We are basically giving them a zero budget. And you have to come, they have to come to prove of us for every dime that they're spending of why they're spending it. And that's what I expect out of you. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you go back to page 3, please? I'm going to frankly look for places where we don't need to spend money right now. We know full well that every single member of this legislature, if we build a big pipeline, will find a way then to deliver the excess gas in-state. Take off points to various communities in the state. We'd get thrown out of office if we didn't do that. That's part of the reason for the big pipeline is get gas to export but have gas for in-state. But we don't know whether we're going to be able to build a big pipeline, right? So I don't know that we have to spend everything at the same time. So I'm looking at the in-state gas line work, $5 million for 2017, $19 million appropriated, some of which is for in-state gas work. 2016, I assume some of that is left over still. Let me challenge you with this question. Since we know that we're going to provide in-state gas to our constituents if we get a big gas line, why can't we delay the in-state gas engineering assessment work for right now until we find a buyer for our gas who's going to pay us enough money that we can build a pipeline? That's the big question today, whether we're going to make the big pipeline work, which we need a buyer first, If we get that, then we have the ability to build a big pipeline. And then once we get there, of course we're going to figure out a way to get gas into the state. Why can't we delay the in-state gas work for now until we know whether we're going to get a pipeline?
Mr. Chairman, can we defer that to Mr. Richards?
Go ahead, Mr. Richards.
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, deferring the work for the in-state delivery of gas to Alaskans can be deferred. It was our charge provided to us by our board and by the legislature to perform this work, so that was the directions that we were following in order to be able to have in place necessary delivery platforms and plans to be able to meet that. So that was the genesis of the work activities that you see presented to you today.
For the chair. Thank you, Mr. Richards. That's music to my ears. If it can be delayed, and I guess we'll take responsibility for when we had more money, we were more, things were moving ahead, we thought faster. We thought we'd do it all at the same time, but I think we're at a point now where we have to make sure whether we're going to have a big gas line. That may be a few years as we figure this out. If you can delay the in-state gas work, we've got $5 million that you won't need for next year. We have some money left over from 2016 that hasn't been spent yet. I hope there is a discussion with the administration and the legislature about delaying that work, because there's no sense building a whole bunch of offtakes for a pipeline we're not going to have. And I do want to say I do want that big pipeline as much as anybody in this building. But until we know it's going to go ahead, we can delay the in-state gas work, I think. And you just said that, so I hope that's a discussion that we all have.
Quite frankly, Representative Garrett, I have talked to him about the EIS work. It's just a finalization to complete a document. Some of that work may be necessary because it's already in the queue. So we'll continue to talk to the department about that, but some of those may cost considerably cheaper because we're doing them now. I see your finger up, and I'll get there in a minute. But you asked first off of why don't we, until we can find someone for a gas. Well, I'm trying to figure out in my mind how you can go to somebody and try and sell gas if you don't know what you're going to sell it to them for. Part of selling and figuring out how much you're going to sell it to them for is figuring out what it's going to cost to get it to market. And that's all included in that. I can see the logic of what they're doing here, but if you want to have that talk, we can have that talk. Representative Garrett.
Yes, Chair. The main pipe is the expensive part, the big pipe that goes from the North Slope that gets the gas to export. I'm not talking about the EIS work. That's the $4.3 million that's forecasted to complete the EIS. I'm talking about the $5 million for next year and then some portion of the $19 million that's just being spent on engineering possible offtake if we get a gas line. I do have questions whether the EIS should still be funded as well. I'll ask that later. But what I'm really focusing on is until we know we can build the big 42 or 48-inch pipe, I don't think we have to spend the money on the offtake points at this point, since we know we're all going to do that anyway.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Richards?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Frank Richards. I would identify AGDC in the state of Alaska does have a responsibility under the AKLNG project during the development of what is known as the resource reports or the pre-environmental documents that the AKLNG is producing for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission license. And the role of AGDC is to look at the in-state needs and be able to identify those and potentially then the impacts through environmental and social impacts under the resource report development. So that's the work that we're doing right now in 2016. That's just for clarification.
Thank you. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Part of the budget, gentlemen, is from what I understand from being in this committee for a while in this legislature, what part of this represents matching what the producers and our partners are doing? What part can we cut back that doesn't match their efforts, that if we don't do, then we're lagging behind on our 25% participation in the project, in the AKLNG? Or is this just overhead for office?
Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, if I understand the question, if I could flip to page 4 quickly, because page 4 is where we, this is the Alaska LNG fund, so you'll see for starting in 2015, you'll see the for each year, the Alaska LNG project cash calls. Mm-hmm. So that represents our contractual commitment to the Steve Butt AKLNG project management team, our 25% equity. So that's the amount of money. And I would argue that under 2016, the payment to TransCanada also would fall into that category because we're paying them back for the money they put into the project. So that's the money here that's purely, you know, the purest form of absolutely going to the project because we're literally just cutting the checks to the project management team as our obligation as a 25% owner. But as Bruce pointed out, as this project continues to develop, and we know from our experience with ASAP, which is, again, through the FEED process, we took that project through the FEED process. So we have a very good idea of how much effort is required. In that case, we're 100% owner. We have not entered the FEED process yet, and the state, as a 25% participant in a potentially $60 billion project, there is a substantial oversight component that's required that we assume this corporation will be responsible for to make sure that that investment is being properly managed. And so I'm not sure I answered your question, but
you did. And if I may, Mr. Chair, another question. I'm going to differ from my friend across the room there. I don't want for in-state feeds and projects and research for gas besides down the main line for the rest of the state of Alaska to be put on the back burner like it has been for the history of the state. There's communities in this state that are significantly behind or are paying significant costs for fuel in rural Alaska and in the interior, and it's always the back burner. When this project goes, it should go without, oh, yeah, and that one, too. So the cost of power in the rest of the state of Alaska is considerable. Don't put anybody on the back burner until something else happens. That's very important. Thank you.
So, gentlemen, is this the crux of your budget request to the Alaska State Legislature?
Mr. Chairman, our 2017 budget request is, if I could draw you to the page 5.
That's it?
Is the right column of page 5 in the blue. And it's spending authority. This is not new money. So this is authority to spend from the appropriations we already have. So we're not asking for any addition.
$56 million worth of requests, and this is what we get?
I'm not.
Bottom line is the bottom.
Bottom line, $56,380,000.
No, just the blue, Mr. Chairman. So the 10,150, and the.
We need, Miles, Ms. Baker, we need a little bit better explanation. Personal services. I mean,
it's the blue up there. It's not on here. Blue.
I would expect a little bit better of a presentation from you guys on how you spend Alaska's money. And when you come to the Finance Committee and personal services, what does personal services include? You know, there's this much for contractual services. This is what we're paying. We're doing $200,000 for travel when you're going from $85,73 and it jumped to $200,000. Just because you don't spend it, Mr. Tangerman, doesn't mean that it doesn't go into the budget as a $200,000 appropriation. Because that's what we look at. When we have to present our budget to the public, we don't say, but if we don't spend all 5.2, there'll be some left over.
Mr. Chairman, we could certainly.
We need those numbers tightened up. Absolutely. We need to know what you need for commodities, $1.2 million for office supplies. That's a lot of paper. You know, I don't need to account for every piece of paper, but I would expect that if you come in asking for this kind of money, that we would have a little bit better explanation of how it's, of what you're asking for. Maybe that would tighten up the questions that the committee has. And the sense that I get is this committee has a lot of questions about how you're spending the state's dollars.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Mr. Tangerman.
These budgets were put together prior to the fall special session, which is when we were, our goal was to buy out TransCanada and pick up their interest. So for it only being a handful of months ago, things have changed a lot since then. I understand exactly what you're saying, but this budget was a, we explained it to our board and they understood that it was a placeholder budget because we didn't know if the special session was going to be successful. And then if there was going to be another special session coming after this regular session. So I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just saying we're presenting you.
I'm saying, Mr. Tangerman, the last special session ended in October.
Mm-hmm.
We had November, December, January, and half of February to present us with a budget. And you didn't. But you didn't. I guess you did, but you presented us with a budget that you prepared prior to last October.
Correct, because we went through the...
That's what I said, I thought. Representative Garrett, Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to explain a point that maybe didn't get across before very well to my friend from Fairbanks, I certainly want when this pipeline moves ahead for it to have all the offtakes necessary to get gas throughout the state of Alaska. But my point that I'm trying to make is until we know that we're going to build the big pipe, I don't know that we have to do that. And when we decide to build the big pipe, it's got to have all the offtakes on it at that point. I mean, it's got to be built with all the offtakes. I get that. So I don't want to delay that. I just want to make sure we have a pipeline project first. The numbers question I have is, so on page 5, we don't have a shaded blue part in the handout. That's not your fault. But from what I understand, it's the shaded blue part, the $10 million on the top column and the $2.8 million on the bottom column that you're intending to spend in FY17. But that $9.3 million on the first line, that's listed on page 3 as an expenditure also. That's the in-state work. So it does seem like, to me, if I look at page 3, it seems like you're proposing to spend $9.3 million on in-state gas work, the ASAP project, the EIS, $9.3 million, plus the stuff that you have in shaded in blue on page 5. So I guess I need an explanation why the shaded in blue part should be regarded by us as the appropriation request when we know you also are going to spend the stuff that's not shaded in blue.
Representative Garrett, through the chair, the shaded in blue is the operating budget for the corporation. The other expenditures on there are the money we will be spending on the projects on the capital side. So you, in essence, when you appropriated the money to the fund originally, that appropriation came with backup and justification of how we came. In the case of the Alaska, if I can go back to slide 4, that 60, top of slide 4, that $69,835,000, we had the backup to support why we thought we needed that money, and a portion of it was for our overhead costs, but the bulk of it was for the capital spending. And so once it comes into the fund, then the corporation and our board of management put together work program and budget to accomplish what we said we would accomplish, like you would with a capital appropriation to DOT for a road. And so we don't come back to you every year. We wanted to show you how we're spending down that fund. So we're showing you, so if you add it across that top line from 2014, it would give you a sense of what's gone into quote-unquote capital for the ASAP project itself and the in-state and the little bit of off-take work that we've done to date.
Thank you.
Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm going to refer a little bit to the previous that we started off with and compare it and use that to help me understand some of the numbers that you guys have. And I think this is kind of where I had some of my confusion earlier. We talked a little bit about the money in the fund, the gas line fund, and that it has to be approved by us to be utilized. In this, we've got two different line items, but they both come from the in-state natural gas pipeline. So we've got the money that's appropriated from the in-state natural gas pipeline, which seems to marry up with the amount that you guys have either spent or projected to spend for the AGDC corporate operated costs. But then we have this other one, which is the in-state natural gas pipeline fund interagency, right? And so the interagency, we've got in FY16, there was $1.6 million, transportation, natural resources, law, environmental conservation. But yet it doesn't seem to reflect on here. If it's coming from that fund, shouldn't it reflect in the total amount that is in the fund? And that brings on the secondary question. If you have to approve of what you're going to spend here out of the fund, then what are the checks and balances in terms of interagencies, so other agencies utilizing money from that pipeline fund? If they can spend $1.6 million, but it's not showing from the fund, I mean, how are they doing that? Because it was supposed to be set up. It was for ASAP, and you guys have mentioned that it's also for the operating costs of AGDC. How are other agencies potentially utilizing that? And, of course, then the other question, why is it not show or seem to show? What am I missing?
Representative Pruitt, through the chair, if I could point you to slide number 3. And as we mentioned earlier in the hearing, we will go back and provide an accounting of all of the RSA money that's basically the interagency receipts that have come out of the both funds. But the $25 million, so you see the $330 million appropriation, the fiscal note for HB4, all the agencies put in a fiscal note, and it got really confusing, and so the decision was made to compile it into one fiscal note and show all of what all the agencies expected to spend getting the capital project built, getting the ASAP project, and it was $25 million. As they've actually come to AGDC and said, okay, now we're going to do year one, DEC, year one of water and air quality permitting work, we sign a reimbursable services agreement with them, and the amount of money that comes out of the fund through that RSA would then show up in this next line, the 65,925. And so then the next year when they come in with their request for an RSA, it's going to show up in the 15 project expenditures, the 65,909. So what we will do is go back and pull out from that. And I think you'll see that it hasn't tracked that closely to HB4 fiscal note, just because we aren't in construction on ASAP right now, and that fiscal note went all the way to FY19.
Okay,
so we'll provide that to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Can I follow up on that then?
And
I know we're pushing against the line. So the question that I have then is that we have to approve the amount that you're going to spend for AGDC corporate operating costs here, and you've indicated that those monies can only be spent on AGDC or ASAP. But the question I have relates to: does the money that is interagency receipts, whether it's at $25 million, you guys don't necessarily. First, you don't necessarily have control of that. If they request it, it just comes out of the fund. So that's not related to you, and so that money doesn't necessarily have the same rules that it has to be utilized for AGDC or ASAP as what you guys then spend. So essentially, if there's a contract that revenue might or DNR or someone else may choose to do and use this money, it's not something that you guys approved. They used the money, but they went ahead and used and went forward with that contract separate from you guys. Is that a correct statement?
Representative Pruitt, through the chair, two-part answer. If I can go back to Mr. Richards' comment, mm-hmm. is that we do approve when they come to us at the beginning of the year and say, okay, HB 4 contemplated we would get this much out of the fund. Basically, we work out a contract with them, and we look at what they want to do, and we say, do we really need that done this year? If so, we work on the amount. It can be a fluctuating amount. It can be more than the budget amount, but we have to agree, we, the corporation, have to agree that the work DOT, DEC is doing. The second answer, I'd say, the only exception to that was during the special session, or I'm sorry, during the budget special session last year, not the gas line, you'll see that under 2015 on slide 3, there was the $157 million that was reappropriated to the Public Education Fund, and there was $9 million appropriated to DNR.
Right.
Okay. That DNR money we've restricted, and we really don't have any control of that. That's going to DNR to fund their FY16 gas commercialization group. So that's not done by an RSA, so it's a different. So what DNR spends that $9 million on, we don't have control over. But if it's pure ISA, if it's pure RSA interagency receipts, then we do it through contract with us, and we determine what the work is going to be.
And the same statutory, Mr. Chair, rules.
Quick question?
Yeah, they're the same statutory rules that require you to utilize it for AGDC and AGDC and ASAP also apply for that RSA money?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Pitney, can you get us a breakout on the $9 billion appropriated for DNR, Gas Commercialization Group, of where and how that money is going to get spent or was spent?
Yes.
Thank you. Tomorrow, Friday, February 19th, we will have an overview from the Department of Health and Social Services on their maintenance of effort formula programs at 1:30 right here. So with that, we will adjourn for the day.